Yeah, I mean, with the grass rising, we had a text. Everyone should have a text, of course. Because from now on, I believe in our bigger friend, the single word, the single idea. Let's start from the beginning of Shmuel. Israel, Abroi Mitzroima, Eisi Akiv, Ishu Eisi Bo. There's a list of the 12 Shvat we entered Mitzrayim, and it's exactly, it's almost a repetition, it's a verbatim repetition of the Parsha in Vayigash. Ve'ele Shmei Zmei Yisrael Abroi Mitzroima. Is Yaakov, Ishi Beisim Bo. There's one question which bothers my mind. It might, I know what the answer is going to be, but nevertheless I'll try to ask a question. When the Pasuk appears in the Yigash, almost verbatim identical, we understand why it says Abroi Mitzrayim. Because it's present tense. Vayigash, the prayer when Yaakov was on the way to Mitzrayim and was about to enter the inner, to enter the gate of Mitzrayim, so the prayer suddenly has interrupted the story and gave us a list of the people who are ready to enter Mitzrayim. Is Abroi, present tense, the proper tense in order to portray who came to Israel? Very strange name for her. Abroi Mitzrayim, the Torah told us before the end that this is the count which the Torah took of them before they entered Mitzrayim. Abroi Mitzrayim, but they were in the mood or they had the intention to enter Mitzrayim. The boy, but here already, the apostle belongs to a time which was removed, very far removed from the original dishes, so to say, from the original, from the original table of the names of Jacob. There was no Jacob. There was no Yosef, and the Torah itself says, "Vayomas Yosef v'cholechov, Vayomas Yosef v'cholechov chol adorav." V'chol adorav, why do you call them Ashabor? Ashabor Mitzrayim, she said, Ashabor Mitzrayim. And you had the second half of the pasuk actually concludes this past tense. If Yaakov, Ishu Beisi Bo. But there, by the first pasuk in the Sefer Shmos, is Abroi Mitzrayim. And these were engaged, still engaged in the process of entering Mitzrayim. Yaakov and his family, original family were still outside of Mitzrayim and were about to enter Mitzrayim. Of course, I know what you may say to me, that in Hebrew is the Rabboi means also in Ashabo. I understand that. But for me to accept it means suicide. I can't accept it. Then is the one who actually noticed this problem was the Midrash. הבויים נצרנו, אבל המדרשס כאילו בואו היום, as in this came today. The Torah speaks of all the immigrants who entered Mitzrayim in present tense because as if they were ready to enter Mitzrayim today, now. I believe there are two, I thought about it and I arrived at the conclusion there are two, the Rabboi Mitzrayim, the present tense is very important to indicate two different events, not to tell us something very important about Godless Mitzrayim. It is so important that the Torah found it necessary to use the present tense describing an event which was 210 years old. First, and this is very important to understand and to feel, when you want to feel and to understand the term Golas in general. The mother says, Aboyim Mitzrayimu kilubo ayin. It means that the people, the population of Mitzrayim, did not consider the Beis Yaakov who came to Mitzrayim as a part of the land, of the state, of the society, the culture of Mitzrayim. They looked upon them as if they just today entered Mitzrayim. As strangers, Jews. The question is, they are considered strangers? I mean, they've been in Mitzrayim for so long. How long do you have to be in a country in order to be considered the part of the country? How long do they have to be? But in Mitzrayim, 310 years, they are not enough. In the Am Bnei Yisroel Ravu Atzimimena. Bnei Yisroel didn't belong to the Am Bnei Yisroel did not belong to the society of Egypt, Egyptian society. They had no part, apparently, in the life, in the political, economic areas. They were considered strangers. Ve'ele Bnei Yisroel Aboyim Mitzrayim, they are still in the process of coming into strangers. Israel. What does Israel mean? I mean, you know all what Israel means. The Chazal interpret Israel. What does Israel mean? Umealon, it means completely strange. Not just a stranger, not assimilated. But more than that, completely, completely. It is as if I were on one, at the right, at the east bank of the river, and he were. And he had been on the West Bank of Geneva. Completely stranger, see? No connection, no nothing, no links, nothing is considered. There is nothing to which the Ephraim and the Mitzrayim were supposed to have in common. They were supposed to have in common, but they did not have. They had nothing in common. Aboyim Mitzrayim. Even Yaakov, Ishu Veseivo, even though those people came to Mitzrayim long, long ago, when Yaakov and the real Yaakov entered Mitzrayim 320 years or 10 years. But in the eyes of the people, according to their opinion, those Ephraim who were engaged for so long, for 310 years, I mean, America is not always there. They were Aboyim Mitzrayim, Kilubo Bezayim. And this is interesting, it's important with regard to not only to Mitzrayim, all Goyim. If you simply mention Germany. In Germany, there were Jews in Germany. Rav Gershom Meir Agelo who was a contemporary, I believe, of Carl de, what was it? Charlemagne was it. I believe that he brought him. No, he brought Charlemagne. I believe, what was the name of my Rebbe? He gave us a Rebbe. Huh? Who? What was that? Anyway, the Rebbe Gershom Yaakov was a contemporary, more or less. More a contemporary of Charlemagne. It was a kind of contemporary. Still, and in the Middle Ages, the Jews, I mean, lived in the cities, I mean, or the trade of the city, the whole life, the commercial and the aspect of Germany could not be visualized and understood if we didn't know, if we would like to meet a Jew. Actually, the cities were populated by Jews, not only just populated, but they were the promoters of commerce and trade and so forth. But the Jews remained strangers, complete strangers. Otherwise, a catastrophe of the dimensions of the Holocaust couldn't have taken place, couldn't have happened. How many people, I mean, assimilated? How many Slavs were assimilated into the German population? But the Slavs disappeared, the Jews remained. Strangers. Ivrim. And Barshe Shmei speaks about Ivrim. Totally stranger. This is number one. Otherwise, couldn't have been such a charge made by Pharaoh, I mean, in a soil Rav Otsumeno, Roman Sakmoli, the Yudhi, Venezuela, and Otsumeno. He speaks about Am Bnei Yisroel. Am Bnei Yisroel, Rav Otsumeno. And Am Bnei Yisroel, he meant people who lived in Mitzrayim for 400 years. It's ridiculous. But this is the essence, actually, of the anti-Semitic doctrine throughout the world.
The doctrine the Jews are refused immediately, being disinterested and concerned with the people they live, and give their attention and answers to some strange distance. All of them, and even though hundreds of years have passed, so they remain strangers among intermediate strangers in the countries where they live. At the same time, they consider themselves seekers of some mystical,
country, which is the real home of the Jews. What is it? Now, of course, now they have to, they can point out very easily. This is the state of Israel, Mr. Bates. Somehow the Jew is always isolated in the soil of Boyne, while they're still in the process of coming. And this is the destiny, and this is the source, actually, because the very root of the anti-Semitic charges. We are strangers. And they kill you easily. Kadoshim Yivreyes. Somehow we cannot assimilate ourselves in any culture, in any civilization, in any political community. We are always outside. We subdue in its friend. Then, there's another important meaning in the way in the tense of subdue in its friend, in the present tense. Chazal say, as we uns dauert war in Migalar in Ephraim. Schlesien ist Mann, Schlesien ist Schengen, Schle, du weißt das mal. Schlesien ist Schengen. Schlesien ist Malbusche, Malbusche. Und Schmeißen, Schmeißen, Malbusche. Alles hin. And the metals expresses himself beautifully. Shimon Yod, Shimon Olam. Ruvi Yod in Mitzrayim, Ruvi Olam in Mitzrayim. Naftali Yod, Naftali Olam in Mitzrayim. Olam in Mitzrayim. After all this, the census which was taken in Mitzrayim, the second year after the Exodus, the end of names. Yeah, introduced in the census. I'm forgetting people who were in Israel for 300 years. No Adolf, no Ivan, no Charles. Ruben Yoad, Ruben, remained Ruben 300 years after he entered in Israel. Yoad, Ruben Ola. Shimon Yoad, Shimon Ola. This is the sign that the Jew is conscious of his identity. Bemesh, if you ask me, so the Jew is conscious of his identity and he would not give up his identity. No force in the world which can compel the Jew to give up his identity. And there is that's why it's Abdel Mitzrayim. Later, so Reuben came to Mitzrayim 300 years later. Reuben is on his way back to Eretz Yisrael. You know, there is no Shimon there, then the language. How long does it take to change a language? Usually, it's a sociological viewpoint. Rather than 30 years. It's almost the generation changes the language, undergoes change. And apparently they spoke Russian Kiddush. In the same manner as easily as they did when they ended up with Tzar. So what I show to you that in this process this is a brain, the same Jew, the same fathers, the same observance of Zayin Mitzvah. So is the anti-Semitic charge correct or not? You have here in this passage, in Abay Mitzrayim, you have here a contradiction in adjectives. A double verfuch. On the one hand, the anti-Semites say, Abay Mitzrayim. This is a slogan of the anti-Semites. Abay Mitzrayim. Come on! Yes, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to say This is the charge. They are not a part of the society. They are strangers. They are aliens. They don't care for what modern society, the society in which they live, and in which they are successful, in which they are, which they hate. Not one in the anti-Semite says it, or Haman says it, and Paris says it. Amnei Yisrael Rav works for them. On the other hand, what are we working for actually? What are you doing to here tonight? And what's our purpose tonight? To be a Shinchumish quality, whatever you want. The purpose is to reassert our identity and to tell the world that we are Jews. Regardless of thousands of years of goals throughout the world. So it means anti-Semitic charge is correct. So what do you say about it? Today, take now, Eretz Yisrael. The Jews, during the Holocaust years, and American Jewry was very, very indifferent. At least they show, do they act like that? They were afraid of Roosevelt, and they didn't act properly. They did this during the Holocaust. That time I thought, this abhorrent Kalmar came to land. The Jew apparently did not identify himself with his brother in Tom Blinker and in Auschwitz, etc., etc. And had he felt identity with those people, he would have yelled and shouted and complained. And when the Akudis Abonim organized a march in Washington, it was the day before I was in Kippur, and Roosevelt refused to receive them the day before I was in Kippur. And nothing happened, nothing helped. He refused to. So he let Wallace, who was vice president at the time, so he received the negation of the Abonim. And the Jewish people just did not react to such a thing. Matter of fact, many, particularly of the Jewish press, enjoyed this spectacle. 500 Rabbanim came to Washington. The French delegation consisted of five, and the president, ha ha ha, interceded. But I must say, American Jewish today is different. American Jewish today is different. There's boldness, there's courage, and they don't get, and they simply change their attitude. First of all, they're not afraid of the goy so much as we did, as the East European Jew did, was. Secondly, there's a stronger sense of identity. This does not mean that we won the battle in America. This is a separate story, but a stronger sense of identity. There's no doubt about it. I feel it in the air. In accordance with our viewpoint. So is the Abroim Abroche or Rahman Islam Akhlore? Is the idea of Abroim, Kilub Etzmer Bo, is the accusation hurled at us by our enemies, is it true or untrue? And if true, so where is here the how should we think in terms of, if we want to understand our destiny in terms of our boy, and we interpret our boy both in the sense of always a stranger and also in the sense of our divine identity must not be sacrificed and must prevail and continue. Is it again a broche or a klo? Basically, those who were charged, the accusation of a boy in Mitzrayimo, like our enemies, don't understand one thing. That there are certain values or certain ideas or ideals to which the Jew is committed, which can never be cancelled. There is a relationship, a special relationship between God and the Jew. There is a special relationship between God and the Jew. A relationship which does not prevail between God and man. As a matter of fact, there is a special relationship between God and the human being, regardless who he is, a Jew or not a Jew, black or white. There is a special relationship. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, communicates with man at two levels. one level, man is a part of the universe. Like the Lord is the creator of the universe. He has a relationship to every particle in the universe. So not a single particle in the universe. Which HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw away. So man is a part of the universe, and he has a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then there is a special relationship between God and Jew. This is the case of bliss. It is not a relationship of man, universal man, and God. Because this relationship is actually is not direct to man. This relationship is between God and man is a part of God's relationship to the universe, to the cosmos. It's via the universe man can relate himself to God. This is the general one, but there is another relationship which is direct between God and man. And this relationship is the relationship which was the Jews said it's not enough. A relationship between the universe within which there are men and ourselves. The Jewish people, it's not enough, I'm not satisfied with it. Now, the Lord apparently agreed with him. I want a special relationship, a personal relationship. And this is the covenant relationship. Jews, when it comes to me, certain areas in human life, actually, the commerce, the scientific part of research, healing and so forth, and helping each other, they belong, all those values, all those ideas belong to the realm of God-man relationship, man, universal man. If Al-Pi Aloha is Abneach, basically, is Musa, was instructed. We call it Shishiramit, it's not Shishiramit, I'm making a mistake. Because according to the Ramban, and the Ramban is also in agreement with him, even though we sometimes misinterpret the Ramban. But the Ramban says, Abneach is chayav, is obligated to fulfill all mitzvahs, or to comply with all the rules of the Cheshev Mishpat. All the rules of the Cheshev Mishpat. Because those rules are not limited to Jews, but they include everybody. Those mitzvahs come under the special relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for as a relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the universal man. Then there is a special set of rules, mitzvahs, rules, ideas, which are rooted in the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Klal Yisrael, the individual relationship. The individual relationship, this is our property. Our own property. It's our idea. We have signed the covenant. We have agreed to it. We have the covenant. In those ideas, we are different. And Abu Mitzrayim Okil Hayim Bo, but with regard to ideas, pertaining to commercial, to commerce, to scientific progress, to justice, I mean, to, and so forth. We participate and we are part of society. But however, whenever society tries to simply to terminate the identity, the special individual identity, terminate it, and tell us how to build our holidays, or tell us how to live in society and so forth, to tell us whenever society begins to teach us, like this, tries to teach us how to be like all of them, like all men, then we are there. Sometimes we display tenacity and we are very stubborn. We don't give in. A boy in the tribe in Amni is all on what you men are in the sacrament. So he said that the Jew is absolutely not interested, let us say, in the security of the land. This is wrong. But the fact that the Jew, even though he's interested in security of the land, in the welfare of the land, and he does, and he makes his contribution to the land, the idea that such a Jew should give up his individuality, that's untrue. The demand itself is immoral, and the Jew ignores it. It's sometimes very difficult, I mean, to distinguish between them. Because it's two relationships. They may make mistakes. But, and mistakes are very dangerous in our society. But you should remember, a Garabuin primer has two meanings, a positive meaning. Our identity will not be terminated. Our identity will continue forever. And then the opposite meaning, just our identity, we are ready to protect the society where we live, in the society is just to us. The society, I mean, is friendly, and we are ready to cooperate with the society. But a boy in Afrin, a boy in Mitzrayim, there's actually a new idea. A boy in Mitzrayim is the same as before. Our enemies, I mean, try to interpret it in false terms. We have never said that it's true, and the people who say it were mistaken. But we have never said that the Jews should simply abandon. It is an impossibility. Abandon his identity and join a community or a society which is totally different from the ideas which Avraham Avinu, which originated with Avraham Avinu, with the others, which Yaakov brought to Mitzrayim. The Avraham Avinu Mitzrayim can be interpreted in two ways. Avraham Avinu Mitzrayim always political strangers, in political terms, in socio-political terms. The Avraham Avinu Mitzrayim is interpreted, this is an accusation made by our enemies. But then a boy Mitzrayim can be interpreted not in social, socio-economical, political terms, but in metaphysical terms, in transcendental terms. The terms of a higher being, at the level of a higher being, there is still a boy Mitzrayim as if we have entered, if we had entered Mitzrayim just yesterday. It's a double refuge. Mentioned in one word, in the present tense, in a brain of time. As a matter of fact, in Avoy Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim, we have a wrong picture of Mitzrayim. Avoy Mitzrayim made a Medrash interprets, and many other many forces. It does not mean that the people in Mitzrayim. If you ask what sort of Jews live in Mitzrayim, what kind of Jews are there? What kind of Jews? We know that they were slaves, that they were tortured, so forth. I mean, what kind of... You know, they were near from Yitzhak Yaakov. It was still before Magna Carta. What kind of Jewish life did they live? What was it? It's very hard to... It's very hard to understand precisely what those Jews stood for. We know Shelo Mitzvah Shtar Nanayach. The Rambam speaks of Mitzrayim as Amram introduced Mitzvah. I would like to know what kind of Mitzvah is. Anyway, but Mitzrayim apparently among the Jews, the world is a spirit as it has been for so long in every Jewish community, which actually, I mean, would not really decide what to do in out there. Apparently there was a crowd of many Jews, who were simply assimilated or preached the gospel of assimilation. Take for instance the Rashi, the Shalach, the Medrash. As for Chavushim Yotzim Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, Chavushim means we won a 50. Or let's say Yotzim won a 5. So it means that the vast majority of the Jewish people was completely assimilated, and they did not join Meshe when he was ready, when Meshe was about to leave Mitzrayim. Where are they now? Where are they now? Now they disappeared in the jungles and tried. So it means those who understood nation was a small minority, I mean. Consisted of a small minority. One shot of ashes in 50. And one out of 50 joined me. It means 600,000 men. We left Mitzrayim, you have to multiply that city by 50. But they were not ready. They were assimilated. And they had just by hinting to them, by hinting, like the Hamushim all, the Torah is not interested to tell us their story. And their story, what kind of a story actually can you tell about them? The war Mitzrayim are very comfortable. Because not everybody in Mitzrayim was an Eved. And if he was an Eved, I mean, he was engaged in work which pleased him. Only a small group of Jews who understood very well their destiny and he joined Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Midrash tells us that Miriam, many Jews in Mitzrayim had Megillas scrolls. We don't know exactly what the scrolls consisted of, but most probably they had the scrolls on which Chumash Bereishis, which was the only Chumash they had, Chumash Bereishis was inscribed. and they can days of rest, like Shabbos, which Pharaoh, they gave them off. They need to read the Megillahs. They used to assemble in certain homes and discuss the content of the Megillahs. It was literally Yechechti of Andim. Yitzias Mitzrayim did not start with Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe had the consummation and the miracle, the full realization, happened through Moshe, but they kept actually but the Jewish consciousness, or conscience, the Jewish emunah, the faith, in the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not just incidental. The people cultivated it. And satisfy their lives in order that this particular identity, this strange identity, should continue until the final fulfillment of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pocket Pakatas, spoke to Tavron, to Yitzchak, to Yankee, will arrive. There were many, many Jews who simply watched not passively, but actively, the slow realization of Pocket Pocahontas. In my opinion, and trying to interpret the words Vayelech Ish Mibeit Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi. What does it mean, Vayelech Ish? The base lady by Yikach as Bas lady. Basically, he means Shever lady. Yeah, but Shever lady, this is base lady. In my opinion, is when the Torah speaks about base lady, so the Torah does not. The Torah is referring to the people who were active in maintaining and sustaining Jewish life or Jewish continuity in Israel. The word bias is good, not good, contains the idea of responsibility. We saw Beis Alevi Bochas Hashem or Beis Aaron Bochas Hashem. We don't mean here the a biological bias, but a bias which is the representative of responsibility. And then the Yalden, just a minute, is Vayilach Ish Mibeit Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi, means he belongs to those individuals, to those groups, which actually which resisted the attempts of Pharaoh to assimilate us. About Shevet Levi, is a medrash explicit that they were the leaders and the teachers of the people of Mitzrayim before Moshe appeared. In other words, it does not mean that the Jews didn't do anything in order to protect their identity. Some didn't. Those who didn't remain in Yerushalayim Mitzrayim. Some who were busy and concerned with the future of the Jewish Mitzrayim because he knew very well if he should not, if he should miss this opportunity. So there would be no Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the whole promise made to Abraham in the beginning, if it wouldn't have been fulfilled. Then when we then we understand the pasuk, Vayita Shayolu Hamialis is 17. Vayaslam Bati. Well, there are very easy to do. Vayaslam, what did you do, Vayaslam Bati? Very difficult. I would say that Vayaslam Bati does not mean actually Vayaslam Bati means that the Almighty, Vayas refers to the Almighty. The Almighty has turned over the leadership of the people in Israel to the Miyaldis. Vayaslam Bati means they became leaders. The Miyaldis was entrusted the leadership and authority to watch over the to lead and to teach the message in Mitzrayim who actually works in Haman already. Interestingly, there's a famous story from the Miyaldos. You'll find that there are those who were women. And according to the Kabbalah Chazal, they were Yechelet and Miriam. And they actually they at Esther they asked to cover the leadership of the people in Israel. The best proof is here to substantiate it is the strange role which Miriam plays. Chazal say Amram God Ladeo here. He was the leader of the people. And when the Xerah of the Miyaldis was published, it was published. So Omad Amram, so God Ladeh, Gemara said it. The Amram was a God Ladeh, with Yish as Ishmi, and he divorced Yehelet. Because what's the use of having children if the child cannot survive? So they simply, terminated their divorce. They simply das kann man mit reiten, kann man mit zu sein. Miriam got up and she said, "It's your policy worse than Pharaoh's policy. Pharaoh goes out on his home, only sons, he told the midwife, should be killed. Lato gives out his home while in the cave. Because by terminating the miracle life, there will be no children." And the Medrash also tells us that to the Misha Rabbeinu was the Tevas Gemen, which made him, his Misha Rabbeinu was placed in the Nile River. So Amram slapped her face and said, "Biti, biti, eichen nevuata. My dear daughter, where's your prophecy? Now, all right, I listen to you. And he remarried our wife. So we have a child, beautiful child, a gorgeous child. He came here, but what will happen to the child?" Zero Shinema, the mother says, "What is Tatsa, Tisatsa, Vachesha, Norahe?" She was interested. She had a personal concern. Because her father told her that her Nivuya is futile, was futile. And worthless. They shouldn't have listened to her. But the impression we get is that nevertheless, Miriam was one. Not Amram with his pessimist approach, Miriam with her face was one. One because the way the event, took place in the sequence of the events. So Miriam was right from beginning to the end. There is also a Medrash, not a Medrash, a Pesach, that after Kriyas Yamsu, Miriam took the instrument, Vatigach Miriam as a teif, Vatigach to Bamchilis, Vashir Hashem to go and go assist for us for all my young. The Torah tells us about Miriam, and right after the Torah told us, right after the Torah told us about Vashir from Misha Abim. Miriam and Vira face Aaron. Shows the role which Miriam and Levi played as far as it is, as far as it's concerned. If not for her, perhaps it is the time wouldn't have taken place. So basically, after the people left Mitzrayim, because the leader of the people was Moshe Rabbeinu. Before they left him from Mitzrayim, the nation was in Midian again. During his long sojourn in Midian, the leader of the people was Miriam and Miriam. Why actually Miriam? Because Vayaslam, this means Vayaslam, but Vayaslam, but it means in the sense that Miriam, Yehavid as well, Yehavid apparently supported Miriam. Yes, sir. Miriam and Yehavid were ready to sacrifice their life, so the leadership and the authority and the authority as far as the people are, which rules with thought and the avoiding this place was turned over or passed on to the other. The Vayaslam bottom in the sense that they became the leaders of the Jewish community in the tribe. And because that's Miriam,
so Meisha kept on saying, "Vainly Yaminoli."
And Akadosh Baruch Hu showed him that the people had faith.
When he came to the people and told him the prophet Pocahontas, the people bowed, Akadosh Baruch Hu knelt before Akadosh Baruch Hu
and thanked Meisha for the good tidings he brought to them. The answer is apparently the Meisha's Leyaminoli. Meisha arrived at the conclusion. And then the Gemara in Shabbos says that Akadosh Baruch Hu told them, if you don't believe, they'll believe. If you display your faith in the future of the people, they'll respond with emunah. And they'll dedicate themselves to the will of Mitzrayim. A matter of fact, for me, Meisha said it, Meisha did not make up stories. Meisha said it, why was Meisha so skeptical about it? So skeptical about it. Namely, Aminoli. Because Meisha's experience before he was compelled, to leave Mitzrayim was not a very pleasant one. And the experience, the conclusion, the derived from his experience, did not portray the people as great Balei Emunah. So Akadosh Baruch Hu told them, forget, you had a bad experience, but don't forget so many years under the leadership of your sister, of Miriam, has passed. And there are different people now. Because the leadership in Mitzrayim before
before these people left this land of slavery, and their way out to Israel, religion was in the hands of Miriam for so many years. And Miriam prepared the people which prepared the people for the ruler which came later when Mashiach arrived. This is why Yaphraim bought him. Means they became the influential people. They influenced the people. They say bought him means they assume the responsibility to prepare a nation which should follow whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be ready to redeem the people, so the people should follow. Miriam and Yehoshua, particularly Miriam, was responsible for the ruler, because without their cooperation, their teaching, and training the people and implanting in them faith, the Netzach Mitzrayim was made possible. Otherwise, there wouldn't be no Netzach Mitzrayim, because there wouldn't have been any Amri, Tzor, Narmi, Aboi Mitzrayim. We accomplished it, Aboi Mitzrayim, Kim Boi Esmer, Miriam. Miriam and Yisheret. This is why Yehika Shayora and Yaldis is a regime. So after this war, we took away the leadership of Amram, because his guess was wrong. And turned it over to Miriam. What was Miriam's core and greatness? What did the main greatness express itself? In the incident of the Miyalkis. The day to fight Paranel of Mitzrayim. Kasha Yoldu, Yorlam, Yaldis, Vesalati, and we're ready, I mean, to incur martyrdom rather than violate the law of the theater. It's by Yaphraim, but it's for his Baruch Hu. Turned over the leadership. It was Amram got Lador, the end of the night, the Gemara says. Amram was over Lador, not me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply took away the leadership. Demoted Amram from his high position as the leader, the exarch, as the leader of the people, and turned it over to a young girl by the name of me, the name of Miriam. So Yaphraim bought it. He gave them authority. Bias in the sense of authority. Now, This idea comes to expression in the word that is Satsa Fahesin Rohit. It means that the Hesin, he started Moses when he was in Egypt. Stood apart means she tried to see the future. think I see the far future. Because then we are puzzling. She felt, she was an idea, she knew that now the event which just began, the events which took place, those events are not just incidents, but they are leading, that will lead to full redemption. This is enough. Now there is another problem with tsunami. We have to understand. Why did Pharaoh actually command the Jewish midwives to kill the infants? Why he was afraid? Why didn't he issue instructions? And there would have been no doubt about the precision. Would be no doubt if he turned it over by Tzaftar the Cholon. He did it later. Vayikik Yoram Yalos Mekim Vayashlem Botim, and then there is Vayitzaftar in Cholon, Abkola Ben Ayil Yilot Hashem Rabas Tehayim. So Pharaoh couldn't, if he had wanted, to issue the order that every child, every infant, be killed if he is a male. They could have issued before. Why did he play around with the Miyaldis Hebrews? The method employed by the Sefer Yisrael throughout the generations was not only the method actually employed by seeing Israel throughout the generations was not only to oppress the Jew, but to discredit him in the eyes of the world, to prove to the world that the Jew is a subhuman, an immoral being, and does not deserve the sympathy of other peoples. As a matter of fact, during the Holocaust years in Poland and Lithuania, I believe two people told this story to me. But I read about it. Nazis used suddenly grab people on the street, Jews, assemble them in a hall, usually a very in one of the finest hotels in Warsaw, and they used to tell the Jews to dress up nicely in their festive clothes. On the table, when the Jews came to the hall, there was delicious food, which actually it was almost impossible to get hold of such precious items. Delicious food was there. Was an orchestra. They used to tell the Jews to dance. The women they used to bring to that locale. And viewing, feasting. So the Nazi photographer kept on taking pictures. And then from the locale, we were sent to Treblinka,
and destroyed and the burst in the oven of the crematorium. What was the idea? The idea we found later after the war. I don't remember who's among whether it's among the documents of Frank or Goebbels, I don't know, but one of them. We found out the motive. Why did they do such things? They wanted to show that the Jews are subhuman, the world is inanimate. It's not even worthy to be treated humanly. Because they themselves, the Jews themselves, don't care about Treblinka or Auschwitz, as for instance. They don't care. Had they cared, how could they arrange banquets at such a time? How could they arrange banquets at such a time? If they had cared for their brethren, if they had sympathy for those Jews who, I mean, at the time when they feasted, who were suffering in Treblinka in all other concentration camps. This is an old method, I mean, employed by Karen Malach Mitzvah. He wanted to show that it's not worth, they're not worthy of sympathy. And because the Miyaldish Hebrews, after all, the midwives, have no sympathy for the legal ones. And they kill them at birth because they are afraid precautions on the part of the king of Egypt if he refuse to comply with the instructions. And don't forget, some youngest Hebrews in Kereset, Shifra Pua. And the Gemara interprets, the Shifra Pua means who's tasky to make it pleasant for the mother while she's in labor pain, and to help the child at birth. This is the task, but the Jewish midwives are so rotten. And so, it's a personification of evil that you cannot trust the midwives without this midwife. As a shimlech is poor, shimlech is poor, whose job is to do chesed. So you see Jewish midwives, who instead of doing chesed with the infant, with the mother, are living in the pain and improve the appearance of the baby, of the infant. And nevertheless, just fear for the king of Egypt made out of them baby killers or infant killers. It's not worse than me to protect the truth. He has no sympathy or compassion for little children, for infants. The world will benefit very little by those Jews. Because the children whom they kill, are just as bad as they are. And simply, I mean, to tell us, and this is one of the methods of the anti-Semitism. That's why Pharaoh said, Ruto Melech Mitzrayim Lam Yalde Yisro Yifre as a Shema Haskura Shema Shemish Shifu. That's what he wanted to demonstrate. And that's it here, it says Vayika Shoyoldo and Yalde Yisro Yifre. So ויש להם בוטים, יציאם עובר דרלי, אוסורתי, and the leadership in the house. Because they have saved the whole city. וילך איש בישראל ונכנס בקלבי ותאר איש ואתה לגן ותאר איש וכיתנו ותתקנה יש איש חדשה ויוכל לצפין ותיקח לתאר תלסגן לרצח מתאר ותחמרו ובחימו וזדס ותושם בית היורת ותושם בסוף הפס היורת ותפס ובחיסם רומת לדי ומיוסף. Interesting is how the verbs which are used here refer to the feminine gender. La terre est ce qui fait vous, la petite femelle est ce qui fait vous, le yochlo, la tika, la tchamro, la chémer, la tochem boef, la yolet, n'y a pas de that the voice is in the matter. It's not a little, an insignificant decision. It's a decision of a semi-mation, a child. Apparently he had no voice because the leadership was taken away from him. Vayaskohem was turned over to Yeshevet and to Yeshevet was around. נתיר את בספר הנכס על היער ונעשר הכס על יד היער ותפתח ותראו את הילד שנינה בל ותח מבולו ואתן המייל דהיר ותפתח שרף בבקספר ותראו את הילד שבים ותיר את הילד ותראו את הילד שנינה בל ותח מבולו ואתן המייל דהיר. There is something very strange in us. What is that Vatereo? Should it be in Vatere, Senor? No. So according to Rashi, Rashi raised this question. I said, Vatifka, Vatereo. Whom? Somebody else? And Elsa Yelet is the child, but she saw somebody, not only the child, Mesha, but somebody else. But we don't understand, now Beche, right? But Tachmel Olo, but Tainer, the Yalder Yisrael. But the first one is very strange. Pharaoh had a daughter. Apparently she was a decent woman. Chazal says, Yisrael, the decent woman. But however she was just a girl in the palace, a daughter, just a girl in the palace of Pharaoh. She had no voice, matters of state. She couldn't change the instructions and the edicts of her father. And apparently, when Pari issued the order, he accepted like the Nazis later. That the Jew, any Egyptian who harbors a Jew or protects him from being taken prisoner by the Nazis Gestapo has to be punished with death.
and still the Batya, her name was Batya, but Spare did not feel like reported to the Gestapo, to the police. They should pick up the person in killing them. No, she, somehow in the Spare there was a spirit of rebellion, so suddenly, you know. Spirit of rebellion. She revolted against the father. What happened? But Pare was Bas. What did Bas Pare actually? Bas Pare apparently had very, very positive traits. Apparently, she had a certain talent, which is very important in times of crisis. But Pare, I don't could recognize and identify greatness. There are people who cannot identify greatness. And that's a matter of fact, such people should never be the head of kingdoms, of any political, of state, because basically a great statesman does not consist in having having a statesman who has a universal mind and is very educated. Does not consist in that. A great leader, a great statesman, consists in the ability, the ability of recognizing, identifying, and classifying geniuses, greatness, and knowing how to utilize their greatness. As a matter of fact, those rulers, kings, like Alexander Magnus and so forth, Napoleon, they had the ability to recognize greatness or expertise or intelligence. I don't know if I only say he was going that a good ruler is not the one who is great himself, but who recognizes indeed greatness in others. Strange. You take Pharaoh from the times of Jesus, 300 years removed from the story told in Shemesh. There was a Pharaoh who promoted Jesus. He apparently had the talent of identifying greatness. He had a dream. And many Chachamim offered interpretation, interpreted the dream. And the Pesuk says that nothing could convince Pharaoh that their interpretation is the right one. The Pesuk says. And then Yeshiv said, and Yeshiv, prima facie, he had the impression that Yeshiv gave him a similar interpretation. They said 7 girls, he said 7 cows. And the Pesuk said that as long as the Chatumim stood before him, he was not a vain, who knows the Pesuk of Ha'at. It means on Chazal, what are you doing for me? But he didn't like it. Suddenly Joseph came, and he told me, the interpretation itself is not, there is no need to be a genius in order to give it such interpretation. Suddenly he got so excited. And so amazed, something extraordinary out of the ordinary happened. He turns around to the courtier, to the rich and rich, as a ruach of the kingdom. Have you know? There was no proof, I mean, to confirm Jesus' interpretation to reject the interpretation of the other customers. But then in Chochom Kamecho, Raka Kifi Yigdom Emeko. How did he get it? How did he actually arrive at such conclusions? The answer is he had this sensitivity toward greatness and toward the genius in that. He felt the very moment Yosef walked into his room, into his reception hall, before he interpreted, he already felt that this man is the answer to all his claims, to all his dreams. And his interpretation will not only be true, but he will implement them as well. This similar talent, the daughter of Pharaoh, 300 years later, displayed this similar ability. Namely, that she recognized greatness, nobility, beauty. And when she said, when she said, nation, but she, and when she opened the table as gamer, so she saw not only nation, but here you, Sehadar Asher says, Shira. She immediately felt that Moshe radiates something which no other has a great potential. That he will see it as if the glory of God, as if the nation would reflect the glory of God. And right away into her mind, flesh, I mean, when she asked herself, if this is the child of the Ephraim which my father has instructed to be killed? If this is the child about whom the children, this kind of a child, does not wait in its time? This kind of a child, did my father make condemned to death? And about this kind of a child, my father says that the child is subhuman, is the devil itself, the incarnation of evil. It's impossible. Sati Reyu. She saw the child, but more than the child. She saw somebody who is near the child. If this is the child whom my father, I mean, instructed the Egyptians to kill, so then I made a terrible mistake about my father. That thing, that rail, that taitista, that rail, she said somebody whom no other person, I mean, saw. That rail, she radiated the glory of the skin. As a yellet, vininao deche, la tachmilolo batemia, this child was condemned by my father. If this is the child which my father instructed the people to kill, so I don't intend to comply with my father's orders. The first spark of rebellion, she began to rebel. Tatemia, Miguel de Isenze, and right away, Tatemia, Asesia, Baspare, Aileh, the colossal official, Minikis, 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 Yeah. Interesting is something else, I mean. I see it in the way. The thing about Spare, he uses a lot of the pain when he had been a story. The teacher for Yisrael had yet to have been a king. Did she pay her or not? Did she pay her? She said, when he had his heart, the teacher of Isha yelled back in the cave, the Yigdala yelled back in the sky, the hero in the rain. But apparently she didn't keep her word. And had she kept her word, she would have been the Yigdala and the yelled back in the sky. That kitten is low as hell. But he won't be. What happened? The matter is the lamish in his guy. Started joining the people when they left Mitzrayim and on their way to the promised land. So how do you remember the Havikah? I believe the answer is simple. Then she came, even though as Tare said, the Yalde evil in the world. She said so and she began to rebel against her father. She first time realized that her father is just a cruel tyrant who wants to perpetuate might for himself. And his orders not only must be implemented, but also must be resisted. Right there. The Yalda Yidra was there means, and my father is cruel and he's not truthful and you don't have to comply with his orders, correct? But when the mother came, she said to herself, that's fine. Why should you waste such a child? Father is wrong. Of course wrong. Such a child should be brought up and be given opportunity to develop and to realize his potential, to realize his greatness. But why should I raise a child who later will not belong to me? So she called anybody. Yehavet came, she said, Vashalom lach eschorech. But one mistake, please, don't make. One mistake, please. That you'll raise the child and you'll be the mother. I'll be the mother. I'll pay you. I mean, many, many And during the Holocaust, it was a very quite an ordinary debate between a Goyish couple, and the Jew wanted to hide his child. Most of the Catholics in Poland or Lithuania actually adopted Islam and took away the child from the parents. Later after the war, when the parents came searching for the child, and as a matter of fact, they found and identified the child, so they refused to return the child to the natural mother and father. How many conflicts we had with the heads of the so-called monasteries and nunneries who didn't want to return the child to the others, but kept on saying the words that were baptized through the tradition. And we did not try to raise Jews to raise children for the sake of helping the Jew, but we raised the children and they didn't deliver them to the Gestapo because we looked upon them as our own children. This is exactly what it was about. The Hashalim is for, and the Etelach is for. I'll pay you as much money as you want. But the child I want for myself. Then she didn't pay. She didn't pay. The Torah has not recorded that she paid the child. Why? Because she understood well that nation, she is not the mother of a nation. And she finally decided to bring the sacrifice and tell another nation whom she liked very much, most probably. There was no reason for not liking Misha. And at last, she decided to bring the second sacrifice. The first sacrifice was when she began to rebel against her father. And since she went underground, she joined the resistance. But the second time, this was second sacrifice, which she brought. Is giving away Meisha Rabbeinu to Yechaveh. She understood that Meisha's place is not in the palace of the kings of the Egyptian empire, but in his future lies in a quite different career. By Yigdal Yered, Rakimeyel, Vastari, by Yilol, she looked upon him. But she knew that Meisha's role will transcend. His private, her eye is more important. Meisha's role in the event, Meisha's role is by far more important. There's a greater significance than their happiness in the end of the day. That's all. All right.